Always like this pulpit, there's plenty of room on it. It's like my study desk. You need plenty of room. Preacher needs plenty of room. And especially in a study desk, and you don't touch anything. It may be a mess. I'm sure Jonathan's the same. I know our brother Kenny's is the same, and mine's the same. But you need all that room. You need all that mess around you. Whenever you're studying, it's good to have a good size of a pulpit. And I'm a wee bit small as well, and it's good to have it the right height. Maybe Jonathan finds it a bit difficult, for he's a lot taller than me, but it's just the right height. I remember I used to preach the wee Faith Mission Hall in Coleraine, and it was an awkward one. It was high and it was narrow. And you nearly need to be preaching with a wee New Testament to get onto the pulpit. But we managed anyway. This is a good size of a pulpit for the likes of a wee fella like me. Anyhow, Acts chapter 18. And we'll read 1 to 17. 1 to 17. Just want to get the context tonight. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy. Italy's just across the way from Corinth. That was Greece, the tip of Greece. Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and he wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus was come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment, and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. So he was next door to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So it was a great move of God here, a real revival. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sothenius, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his word. Just let's have a wee word of prayer and ask God's help to present this truth. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight that thy word is truth, and thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And tonight, Lord, you don't need us, but Lord, in your grace, you've sought to take us and be useful in the ministry of the Lord. And we pray tonight, Lord, that we will know the unction from above. We will know the help of the Holy Spirit as we speak thy word. Lord, may this word penetrate all of our hearts. May there be a word in season for every one of us. May we know God's presence in this house tonight. Oh, come, blessed Spirit of the Lord, and presence yourself here. And our Father, wherever this word might go, that it might be owned and blessed of God Himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The text we want to use tonight is what Gallio said at the end of verse 17. It says Gallio cared for none of those things. Gallio cared for none of those things. Paul here is in Achaia, and it was a province of the Roman Empire. And there was a man to look after the province, and his name, as we have read, is Gallio. And he was to act on the behalf of the Roman Empire. So if there are any problems or any difficulties in that city, Gallio knew about it, and the man or the woman or the problem was taken to him, and he sat down in the judgment seat, and as it was discussed, he made his judgment, and his judgment was final in that city or in that town. And of course his judgment was a judgment from the Roman Empire and the Roman thinking and theology of that day. He had a very famous brother, the historians tell us. Seneca was his name. Sounds like a girl's name, but it wasn't. Seneca, a very well-established philosopher of that day. And his brother said of Gallio that he was a man of great ingenuousness and wonderfully good and a good temper. And that's recorded in the history books for us. That was the type of this man, Gallio. He was a man of great ingenuousness and wonderfully good and a good temper. We have to know this because it's part of the context, as you'll see. Now, he wasn't always called Gallio. His name was Nuvatus, but he was adopted into the house of this man Gallio, and he took his name. So that's just a little bit of information about this man. Of course, he was a Roman. And Paul is brought before this man's judgment seat. And in verse 13, he's charged. They bring them before him, and he says, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." Now, it doesn't say whether it was the Roman law or the Jewish law. But they brought him before this man to charge him. And they charge him with this charge. Now, Paul was not preaching contrary to the law of God or to the law of the Jews. Because Paul himself tells us over in 1 Timothy 2 and 7, it says he was ordained a preacher and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he says, "I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not." So Paul was a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever you become a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you get into problems. It's not easy. It's not easy. And Paul is brought before the judgment seat because he was a preacher, a presenter of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you'll find in verse 14 that Paul here is not allowed to open his mouth. He's not allowed to defend himself. It says, and when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong and wickedness of the Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. Paul wasn't allowed to speak. That was some defense. I would call that a sort of a kangaroo court. And verse 15, Gallio steps in and he dismisses the case. And then in verse 16, the Greeks take Sothenius and abuses him in Gallio's sight. And then the verse 17 says, Gallio did nothing about it, for he cared for none of these things. Now I suggest tonight, first of all, that Gallio didn't want to hear the word and testimony of the Apostle Paul. There's a wee bit of a contradiction here. The commentators would disagree with maybe what I'm saying. What the commentators, a lot of them believe in verse 14, when Paul was about to open his mouth and defend himself, they say that Gallio interrupted in favour of Paul's defence. Or at least it intimated that he didn't need to be defended. So Gallio cuts the proceedings short and moves that we don't need to hear Paul and take up unnecessary time. Because what Paul is coming before the judgment seat for, well, it doesn't really matter, and we can get on with the situation and get this dealt with here and now and pass over it. And we don't need to hear Paul, because we've heard these things all before. We'll just let it pass on by. And that'll save Paul time, and it'll save the court time. And that's the sort of an attitude that some commentators believe this setting to be. Well, I disagree in my wisdom, should I say. I disagree. I don't believe that was the case. I think there's something deeper here. Matthew 13 and 15, what does it say? It says, this people's heart is waxed gross or dull, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted. What I believe is that Gallio didn't want to hear the word. That's why he didn't want Paul to speak. He didn't want to hear the word because, let's remember, Gallio, he wasn't a Christian. Gallio was an unsaved Roman. And Gallio does not want to hear the word. He knew who Paul was. Paul was in this city preaching in the synagogue every Sabbath day. That's what verse 4 tells us, the word of God. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So he was a known preacher. He was a known persuader. He was a known gospel teacher. He was a known man who brought the word of God into the synagogue and had the crowd around him and opened the word and preached. He was known for that. And you're telling me that Gallio didn't know this was going on in his city? Of course he did. Paul was preaching here. And then when it got very hot and the Jews get angry, he moves into Justin's house, just next door to the synagogue. And then the ruler of the synagogue gets saved, and others with him, and there's a great stir in this town. I would say Gallio had heard all about this. In verse 11, the Holy Spirit tells us that Paul is in this place a year and 6 months, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, teaching the word and getting results. there was a real move of God here in this town. A real move of the Spirit of God. Gallio didn't want the word of God preached by the mighty Apostle Paul. If Paul would have opened his mouth, Paul would have taken this word and he would have broken it down and he would have preached it in its power and in its simplicity. And Gallio would have heard the word of God man to man. Person to person. Oh, Gallio may have been known as a man of great ingenuousness and a wonderfully good-tempered man. But listen, he was scared of the word of God. He was scared of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been round the doors knocking and someone comes to the door and says, I'm just out here spreading the gospel tonight. Well, let me deal with it. Close the door. That's a Gallio, I believe. He was scared of what he was going to hear. He was scared of the word repentance. He was scared of the word conversion. He was scared of the word being born again of the Spirit of God. In Hebrews 4 and 12 it says the word of God, it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I have been to funerals and some of these funerals they're talking about the hay and they're talking about the corn and the barley and they're talking about next door neighbours and they're talking about this thing and another. And then I step up and I say to the wee family that's been bereaved, would you mind if I opened the word and read? And you open the word of God and what happens? There's a silence. That's a word of authority, friends. That's a word of authority. People take heed and they listen to the word of God because this is not like any other book. This is the living word of the living God and it's the word of authority and it's the word of power. There's no other book in this earth that you can open and still the hearts of men and women. That word is a word of power. It's a word to be feared if you're not saved. And I believe that was Gallio's stance. 1 Peter 1:25 says, this is a word that endureth forever and forever. It's an eternal word. It's not just for today or yesterday or tomorrow. It's for eternity. Moreover, what about Paul's testimony? Paul gets up to speak and defend himself. He was scared of Paul's testimony. Remember, Paul was a Roman, like Gallio. You see, he knew how Romans thought. He knew how Romans would worship. And he would know every question that Gallio would point to, Paul would have an answer because Paul had been there himself being a Roman. And Gallio didn't want to be confronted. Paul would answer all his questions, all his worries, and all his excuses. Gallio didn't want this. Gallio didn't want this. Moreover, I bring you Gallio's real desire, his real desire, to get Paul to shut up and get on with his life of sin. That was his real desire. Yes, he may have been full of pomp. Yes, he may have been a wealthy Roman. Yes, he may have been in a place of authority. But don't let us forget that he was a sinner. He looked and spoke as though butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. He says, verse 14, of Jews if it's a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness. If it were a moral judgment, I would certainly judge it. Because I'm known as a moral and an upright and a gentleman, I would certainly judge it. He was blowing his own trumpet. In today's terms, we could say, when we're speaking to such a person, well, I'm not really a bad person. I'm really a good person. I get on well with my neighbours, and there's a good word spoken about me in the community. Ask anyone down in the shop. Mention my name and they'll tell you that I'm a good neighbour and a friend to many people. But Gallio, with all his standards, he was still a sinner. And as a sinner, he sins. And he wanted to get on with his sin. John 3:19 says, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. He wanted to shut Paul up and shut the Word of God up. He didn't want to be confronted once again with this gospel. That's what I believe. He didn't want as much as to hear it. In silencing Paul, he could shut the message of the cross out, couldn't he? Wasn't like Agrippa. You heard Paul. No, he wanted to shut him out. This guy was more subtler. He could go on with his life now as it was before. He could continue in the wages of sin. He could keep the Lord closed out of his life. He could do what he wished. And the Word of God would have no say, or there would be no consequences in his life because of the Word of God. He thought it shut out. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm going to close my ears. I'm going to put my head in the sand. And it'll go away. Gallio's real desire. That's what it was. He wanted to continue in sin. What about Gallio's destiny? A man of indifference. A man unconcerned. A man unmoved and unsympathetic. The Holy Spirit says he cared for none of these things. He continued the rest of his day at his job. Just another day at the office. The next day he would come into the judgment seat. It would be business as usual. Paul's meeting with him had no lasting effect. Oh, the message and the ministry that Paul had was beneath him. And you know, there's people like that today. This gospel's not for me. I'm more intelligent than those people. That's beneath me. That's for the people in the streets. That's not for me. I'm more intelligent. I have a better understanding. I have a greater mind than to listen to those preachers. And take heed to what they're saying. No lasting effect from Paul's ministry. Because Paul didn't get opening his mouth. Yes, that may be his natural and common destiny as day follows night. Oh, sure, he made it into the judgment seat. The next day, and the next day, and the next day. I'm sure he may have forgotten about Paul. He didn't hear his message anyway. And what happened to this man? Well, he just get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in sin. Yes, that was his natural and his common destiny. But what about this unconcerned, unmoved man's spiritual destiny? Because people forget that they have a spiritual destiny. People forget there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. How many people think, well, I'm just going out tomorrow to work, to get my wages, to buy a house, to have a family, to get a new car. And day follows night, and night follows day. And that's all they have in this life, and they struggle. And they're never satisfied. And they forget they have a spiritual destiny. They forget that whenever they die, the soul does not die, but it lives on. Galileo forgot this. We must go to the Word of God that will be his judge. The Word of God that he shut out of his life. Because this is a word that will condemn him. In Ephesians 2 and verse 12, what does it say? It says that we are without Christ, having no hope without God in the world. That's man's spiritual condition before a thrice holy God. If you're not a Christian, you're without Christ. If you're without Christ, you have no eternal hope of ever seeing him in the glory. If you're without Christ, you have no hope of becoming a child of God. What does Acts 17:31 say? This word in Acts 17:31 says to Galileo, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. The Lord Jesus Christ. The man who was shut out of Galileo's life is the man that will judge him one day. The man that shut out of the sinner's life, that man will judge him one day. He will stand before him. What have you done with my son who is called the Lord Jesus Christ? When you were given that invitation, when you were given that gospel tract, when you tore it up, when you threw it from you, when you closed your ears in the open air, when you didn't want to hear at the doorstep, this man's going to judge you. This man that you shut out of your life. Had Galileo righteousness? Yes, he had. But it was his own. The Bible tells us all about our own righteousness. It says there's filthy rags in his sight. Do you know why they're so filthy? Because you're putting your goodness before the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think that I am better than Jesus Christ because my righteousness is my goodness. Is better than what he done at the cross for me. That's what you're saying. Oh, Galileo had righteousness, but of his own. Would it stand in the day of his righteousness? Of the righteousness of Jesus Christ? No, sir. No, sir. When he rejected the word of God, he rejected the Christ of God. and his righteousness, and any hope of heaven. You cannot get to heaven any other way. There are thieves and there's robbers and they're trying to get to heaven. You can't get to heaven but through the door. You can't get to heaven but through the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no other way. My way is no way. Your way is no way. Galileo's way was no way. There was no way that he would ever reach heaven's door. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Galileo rejected that way. He rejected the word. He rejected Christ and his righteousness. Why? Because he cared for none of those things. He cared for none of those things. His life was indifferent to the things of God. He may have been a good friend. He may have been a good brother. He may have been a great son. But he was also a great sinner. And he needed God's salvation. But he didn't care for any of those things. I wonder, are you here tonight and you don't really care? Your life's all right the way it is. Life is just going nicely for you. Maybe you've just turned a corner and things are looking up. That's you and Galileo, hand in hand. He cared for none of those things. Galileo's destiny, wasn't that awful? But then, just in closing a few moments, there was the Spirit's delaying and the Spirit's tarrying. Oh, we do not understand, dear friends, tonight. Really understand the matchless grace of God. We do not understand how we reject time and time and time again. And how we get opportunities. And God speaks to us in different ways through his grace. We want nothing to do with him. And yet he continues. Well, here, my friend, it was the same for Galileo. The Spirit's delaying. The Spirit is tarrying. Look at 18 and 24. Listen what it says. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So here's this man, Apollos, and he's all around Achaia. And the word of God says he's mighty in the scriptures. And we know from reading the book that he was a mighty preacher. And there was great works done through this man's ministry. Verse 27 and 28, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, that's where Galileo was, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. So he's in Achaia, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convicted the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And I'm telling you tonight that Galileo saw this man and he heard this man. This man taught publicly the word of God and he was mighty in the scriptures. And the Spirit of God is delaying and the Spirit of God is tarrying in Achaia. And there's people repenting and there's people finding faith. There's Jews in the synagogue being born again. There's Greeks coming to Christ. And all probability there's Romans as well. And all just to be living those few months in Achaia. There was a whole stirring up. You couldn't miss it. And the Spirit of God is delaying and it's tarrying for one man. And here's what the Holy Spirit, who's tarrying and who is delaying in this place, says. Gallio cared for none of those things. Gallio cared for none of those things. How often the Spirit of God has spoken to men and women. How often a mission has come to the end of the road. And the wee pilgrims are there. And there's some gospel preaching church. And they're presenting Christ. And they're around the doors. And there's another opportunity for you. And is that you? I care for none of those things. Boy, the day that Gallio died was a sad day indeed. He cared for none of those things. I never read of him again. And if he died as he lived, my friends, he's in hell tonight. He was indifferent to the things of God. But we had other good characteristics about him. But he needed this one to get to heaven. He needed to be redeemed through the blood of Christ. And if you're here tonight and you're out of Christ, it doesn't matter what characteristics you have, whether you're on the clean side of the broad road or the filthy side of the broad road, you're on the broad road. You're on the broad road. Don't try to make yourself different from anyone else. You're on the broad road. And you'll have to come to that place before you move anywhere else. You'll have to come to a place where you recognize, oh God, where I am tonight, I'm a sinner before thee. Wherever you are on that road, that's where you have to come to. You have to look up into the eyes of God's heaven and God's Son and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And dear friends, we can start there and move on. If you come tonight as a sinner to Jesus, oh, praise God, we can open the book and we can point you to him. And you can leave this house tonight assured of God's salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe you'll be saved. No, sir. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't leave it off. Don't leave it till it's too late. The last words concerning this man, Gallio, he could put on his tombstone. He cared for none of these things. What an indictment. Oh, friend, tonight, do not be like Gallio. Do not have it said about you that that man, that woman, cared for none of the things of God. You need to care tonight. This is the way to heaven. This is the way to eternal life. Found in this book is a man called the Lord Jesus Christ. And through him alone tonight is your passport to glory. If you're not saved tonight, may you find. If you're cold in heart tonight and you're walking afar off, when you come back to him. When you come back to him. Child of God tonight, let's encourage ourselves in the Lord that there was a day in our life and the grace of God touched us. And we bowed the knee and we said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, the wonderful grace of God. Thank you tonight for listening, and if we can help you in any way after the meeting, please wait behind. We're going to close with our hymn this evening. It's 426, please. I have a shepherd, one I love so well.